How's it going, everybody? This is me again, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
So, Monica, we are going back in time for this a little bit. My opinion is this. I remember watching this movie when I was younger and thinking, wow, this movie's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And now this being 23 years later, mind you.
Damn.
From the time this movie came out, I saw it and I was like, you know what? It's still a pretty fun movie to watch.
Yeah, it is. It was pretty good.
But before we say which movie it is, let's go ahead and tell our listeners what our social media accounts are, shall we?
Yes.
All right, so we have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we have our Letterboxd, which is under MythsBehindLGDS as well. And we have our TikTok, which is our newest platform, under MythsBehindLegends. Last but not least, certainly, we have our infamous URL, which is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Yes.
I like how you bust out new moves every time I do it.
It is what I do.
I noticed, today, for example, there was a little hair thing.
See, what happened is that I ate earlier and apparently I got some stuff in my hair and I just noticed it right now. So I was trying to get rid of it. My hair is longer than it should be, so stuff gets in it, apparently. kind of gross. And it smells like garlic or something. I don't know what that smell is.
Well, as far as things are going with life and everything, it is what it is.
It is what it is. It's going.
Yeah, I mean, we are kind of like keeping that off the podcast for now.
Yeah, there's no reason to put it in there yet.
Nah, let's just not go there for now. I mean, not only your case, but mine, because I always say the same things. It's like work, I'm drinking. Work.
Yeah.
I'm drinking. Work, I'm drinking. So I feel like I repeated this myself enough times that the audience already has an idea that I'm a drunk, a functional drunk.
Yes.
So let's leave it at that for now, shall we? All right, because I am a functional drunk, by the way. But anyways, yes. speaking of functional drunks, we got one in this movie, by the way. But before we get into that, which movie are we talking about, Monica?
We are talking about The Faculty from 1998.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
This movie is now, as of 2 years ago, illegal to drink.
Nice. You know, I don't know why. I thought this movie came out in the 2000s, not 98. I was surprised. I was like, what? I mean, it's almost there, but I don't know why I thought it was 2000s.
I remember being in high school and it coming out because we went on, this came out on Christmas, actually. I think Christmas, or around Christmas of 98. So it's technically a 1999 movie. But my point being that I was in my freshman year of high school, and we went on break, and I remember when we came back, everyone was talking about this movie for some reason.
Oh, wow.
Like, every person that I talked to, hey, have you seen The Faculty? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I didn't see it until maybe about 2-3 weeks after it came out, so sometime in the early part of 99.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I saw it, and it was fun, and it was interesting, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's surprising to me that the movie didn't really get more recognized than it did. I mean, now it's a cult movie. Everyone knows. Yeah. You know, most people that know movies from that time, or people around my age, they remember that movie. But it didn't become like a Scream, for example, where like Scream became super
popular. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, since we're kind of talking about the movie already, but you know, just quick recap, Monica, maybe a sentence or two of your impressions
real quick. I mean, what's basically like the Body Snatchers, you know, it's just got there's no pods, but there's a little weird alien thingy that goes in through your ears and just kind of like takes over your body. I like the idea of like it, and it wasn't like they weren't like brain dead and emotionless. They were just very cheery, which I thought was pretty cool. It's like a contrast to like, you know, what you would imagine somebody being possessed by a body snatcher would be like. So they weren't like little robots, they were just like very ecstatic.
So we'll get into that in the next segment, which is our critique segment, and we'll be right back after these messages. Alright, Monica, so you have mentioned a couple of things that I want to talk about, and this being our critique segment, of course, in which we talk about the plot, the acting, the cinematic aspects of the movie, like the way the movie was shot, directing, maybe stuff like that. I mean, we cover that in this part of our episode. So before we get into the points you brought up, I want to say as soon as I watched this movie, I felt like I was 14 again.
Aw.
I mean, because it literally starts with a song that was famous back then, so it's like, dude, like this is.
Yeah.
I think it was The Offspring that starts the movie, I believe.
Yeah, it was the offspring, yeah.
And now that I'm older, back then I wasn't a fan of that music for, like, by the way. I was kind of still trying to figure out what I was into as far as music, and I didn't really find my musical identity until my sophomore year, so around the year 2000, when I started playing guitar. So I listened to that music and I was okay, I guess, you know, it's okay, but I wasn't really into it. And now that I hear it, it's like, man, I remember that song, and you think about it, and it's like, dude, that was 23 years ago. There are
Crazy.
people in the audience that might not have been born yet by that time, so I gotta take some ibuprofen, by the way, because my back hurts, my
Oh,
knees are shot. I'm
shit.
not that old, I just turned 37 a couple weeks ago, and it's like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I feel like a 25-year-old at heart.
I listened more to like Evanescence and like Korn and like Blink-182 and those bands, but yeah, I mean, I remember that. It definitely like that whole soundtrack gave me like nostalgia for sure.
Dude, definitely. And the cast themselves, I mean, there's Frodo Baggins, Elijah Wood.
Oh
There's
yeah.
Josh Hartnett with his, I don't know what to call it, but his hair is weird in this movie.
Yeah, I like his hair though.
He
Nice.
uses a similar hairstyle in Halloween 20 years later.
Oh
It's
yeah.
like the exact same hair, maybe a little bit longer, but dude, it looks like he just woke up and he's like, you know what, I'm just gonna trim this hair myself, and I don't care about what anybody thinks. So kudos to you, Mr. Harnett, for the courage for having for wearing that hairdo in these acclaimed films. I think by the time he came out in Pearl Harbor, he had like decent hair.
Yeah. He had normal adult hair,
I don't
yeah.
think he could have rocked his hairdo in Pearl Harbor. And of course, Jordana Brewster, who is famous for being in the Fast and Furious series.
She was
Usher.
so young in that
Oh
movie. Dude, I know Usher looked like a little
yeah.
baby.
I remember, like, I had a conversation about this with my friend where it's like, dude, like, I remember watching this movie and thinking all these girls are really pretty. Like, and now I watch it and it's like, okay, they're pretty girls, but now I feel weird thinking that they're pretty girls because they're like 18 in the movie, whatever. So it's like, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Jordana Brewster, and then of course Usher, and then Salma Hayek came out in
Oh
this
my
movie briefly.
God,
Dude,
that's true.
she's gorgeous.
I didn't even know she was in this movie. Like, I completely forgot.
Yeah, and Jon Stewart of
Oh yeah.
the what's that show called? Oh, man, I forgot.
Late Night or like Daily? It's not. Was it? Was he on The Daily Show?
Yeah, the one that Trevor Noah hosts,
Oh
yeah. Or like
yeah.
he kind of gave the torch or passed the torch to Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
He was the one in the end. Before that, he had a somewhat decent acting career. He came out in this one. He came out in a movie called Half Baked, also with Chappelle.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I
Wow.
think he was only in a couple of scenes in that movie, but he was like funny. He was like a stoner.
Oh,
He was a stoner in that movie. So if you want to watch Jon Stewart smoking weed or on camera or
nice.
whatever, go watch Half Baked. It's a pretty fun movie, by the way. And
Nice.
of course, there's also another couple of people that I want to mention in this cast. There's the principal, Bebe Neuwirth. She was a. I always had a thing for her, even when I was younger, because she was in one of my favorite shows ever called Frasier.
Oh
She
yeah.
played. Well, actually, before that, in Cheers from the 80s. And I didn't watch Cheers when I was a kid. I watched it when I was in middle school because they had reruns. But, anyways, she was at one point Frasier's wife and then his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And I always thought she was really sophisticated and really, like, high class, and I always had a thing for her because I always thought she was really pretty. I have a thing for intelligent women, dude. I'm sorry, like.
Dude, same with guys. Like, I am. There's a word for that. I can't remember what it is, but like, I'm attracted to the
I
intelligence of
believe
the
it's
person.
you are sapiosexual or something like
There
that,
you go.
or
That's what it is.
sapiophile.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, which is, I mean, we're getting a little bit into the academic segment, but we are called Homo sapiens because sapiens means you're smart. So sapio is has to do with your brain, intelligence, stuff
Got
like
it.
that. So
Nice.
every day we learn something new, my friend.
True.
And also, last but not least, I mean, there's other people in this cast, but just from the ones that I have here, the lady that played that old drama teacher, she was the lady that played Carrie's mom in Carrie.
Wow. Huh.
I
Interesting.
didn't even recognize her when I watched this movie, and it's not until I started doing research for this film that I was like, dude, that was Carrie's mom. That's wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
And the film's director was none other than Robert Rodriguez from the Mariachi fame.
Yeah.
Stuff like
And
that,
Spy
so.
Kids. He
Yeah.
did Spy Kids too, right?
He did a complete 180. Didn't he also direct From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So he was doing like all these crazy, weird vampire horror movies, and then
And then
this
it's
alien
kids
movie, and then
movie.
Spy Kids.
Yay! I love Spy Kids. That was such a good like little franchise. That was nice.
I don't think I ever saw any of them. Or if I did,
No?
I don't. I mean, I was already kind of older when those movies came out. I was like in my 20s, I think.
I was obsessed with Lava Boy.
So
Or Shark Boy. Shark Boy.
you might have been like in, if not middle school, then high school. But I was already probably in college when these movies came out, like 2002 or three, I think,
Yeah.
or four maybe. I don't know. But so, what do you think of their acting? I mean, all these people—they're fairly good actors, really good personalities in their own right. So, what do you think about the acting in this movie?
Top tier. I loved it. Perfect. And it had Danny Masterson from That
Oh yeah,
70s
that's
Show
right. Yeah.
and that one girl from Freaks and Geeks who also came out in a bunch of wait, was she in Freaks and Geeks? I know she came out in a bunch of the one that ends up with the football player. She used to be she came out in a bunch of like teen rom-coms
Oh,
like
like the Goth
All
Girl?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in the She's All That. She was in another one too. I can't remember what it was called, but like she's almost always played a goth girl in like almost every movie that she's played. Yeah. I want to say she was in Freaks and Geeks too, but I'm not sure.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention the teacher lady, the I don't know what,
Oh,
I think it was English.
Jean
Yeah, yeah,
from
yeah.
X-Men. Yes. I
Yeah,
was
Jean
like,
from X-Men.
"Damn, girl."
I
She
always
was
thought she
good
was really
enough
pretty
for you.
too.
Yeah, she's hot.
I mean,
She's
even when she
awesome.
had that like little librarian sheepish look, I was like, oh my
Oh
gosh, she looks
yeah.
so beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
I am into smart ladies that wear glasses and speak in accents.
Yeah.
I
Does she have an accent in this?
don't think so, but I'm just saying that if she had an accent, I would've been like, oh my God, I want to marry
I
her.
know she does. She's like Dutch or something. She's like from She's super tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that I want to talk about is I love how the teachers are portrayed in a very realistic way in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Dude, they all look super like frustrated with their lives and just in general like defeated about their profession.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm not trying to make fun of teachers because, I mean, full disclosure, I was a teacher
Yeah.
for a long time. I worked with kids for the better part of 8, 9 years. So I am familiar with the world of education, the what goes on behind the scenes. It's not just teaching a class, it's not just standing in front of kids for 7, 8 hours a day. It's after, before and after that, dealing with the principals and the parents and staff meetings. And dude, it's just like,
Yep.
not because I used to be one, because at some point I want to teach again, but I want to teach at the college level if I ever get a master's degree. But teaching is a very, very, very underappreciated profession, dude.
It is underpaid too.
Yeah, definitely. So when you see that older guy like pouring whiskey into his coffee and he's going to
Oh
class and
yeah.
like, okay, yeah, open your books to chapter 5. I don't care. Like,
Yeah.
and the dude's like, sir, we did the chapter last week. Okay, I guess, you know, let's do the next one then.
Like that they were like, oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. Let's move on then.
Dude, but I mean, again, I'm not trying to make fun of for the sake of making fun, but that's how it is. Like,
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
at various points in my career, I was like, dude, like, how am I even able to do this? Like, you lose track of what you're doing, and it's just like, I like that they actually went into this, and they had a little staff meeting also in the beginning where the principal was telling them like, ah, yeah, we don't have the budget for your drama club.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have the budget for your field trip. We don't have the budget for this. And the guy's like, well, but you're gonna give the football players all their new jerseys and.
Oh, yeah. That was the same thing at our high school, dude. The football players got all this stuff, and it's like, well, yeah, because that's where they make their money. If there's football games every Friday or Thursday or whatever. So that was the little money pot, you know? Like, it was the football stadium.
I got to see all these things, and again, like this is, in the way that it was shown in the movie, it's realistic because it's the way it is. I remember having staff meetings with our principals, and they're asking us, "Well, what do you guys need?" And we were like, "Well, we need this much money for the supplies or whatever for the budget, whatever." And they're like, "Ah, yeah, no, because we got athletics and this and that." And it's like, "Well, then why the hell do you ask me what I need if you're not gonna give it to me?"
Exactly.
Like.
When I get my hopes up.
Dude, it's again, we're not trying to make fun of teachers because I, you know, but now that I look at things like that in hindsight, it's like, dude, how did I even deal with that for so long? Like, don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know. I am speechless right now because I got stories for the day, my friend. But we have to move on. So, how? I mean, we're gonna start getting into spoilers here, but the movie deals with an alien invasion, right? You said this about the movie in the beginning, where there's some sort of alien parasite. So we see the parasite as being like a completely normal all-American girl type of thing. She's this little like blonde homebody kind of like, or I don't know what the word is, but you know, kind of just like, I don't know what the word is, but I guess you get what I'm trying to say. So just really, I guess, prim and proper type of girl, like just really like polite and. Hi, my name is, and she gives her whole name, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and like, and, but in reality, she's like this like alien parasite queen,
The queen bee.
but so she says she's from Atlanta, but by the time she gets to this movie, which by the way is set in Ohio, but the movie was recorded in the Austin area, by the way, Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I saw the credits in the end, and I was like, Austin? I was like, huh, that's cool.
So. The movie being set in Ohio, so it's, you know, up north in the movie universe. But in reality, how did this alien get to our planet? Did she teleport? Did she fly in a spaceship? Did she catch an Uber?
True.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 'cause didn't it come from like a lab in one of the universities?
No, I don't know, because the teacher wanted to send a sample to the university, the John
So
Stewart.
where did they even get it from?
What's his name? Frodo Baggins found it in the football field. Frodo Baggins. He found it,
I mean, well, then it must have landed then, because it's like
but what I'm
maybe just.
thinking is, if this thing actually came from Georgia, did she actually already infect Georgia? Like, is this like one of the last little places in the country that doesn't have this phenomenon? Like,
That's true.
I mean, I guess when they kill it clears everything out from, I mean, wherever she might have spread her little offspring out, but my question is, I mean, she just like, oh, I used to live in a planet that was full of water, and then it started drying out, so I just came here.
Started drinking all your water.
So yeah, I mean, if anybody out there has some theories as to what this being did to get to our planet, how, you know,
How they arrived,
she was able to transport. I mean, yeah. And then I have a question for you. Is this movie actually trying to say that drugs are good for people?
I mean, it's always good to have some drugs, 'cause you never know.
Or in states where it's legal, my friend, then yes, like in your state, for example.
Yes, but like, what he was using, what did he say he was using? It was
It was
like
caffeine.
caffeine. So caffeine dries you out.
Yeah.
So that's why it was able to defeat the alien.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, I was trying to make a joke, Monica, but I don't think you got it.
Probably not. I'm a little tired, you know?
I mean, of course, drugs. I mean, you know, there's different kinds of drugs, and let's just leave it at
Drugs are bad. No,
that.
they're not
But
that bad. The hard ones are bad. The loose leaf is fine.
I was trying to make a connection to like how schools always drilled you with like drugs are bad and like
I
DARE and
know.
like DARE, all those programs.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like they would bring like cops with dogs to show and tell kind of thing.
like, you better not be hiding drugs in your lockers, kids, because we're about to take the sniffing dogs down there.
Yeah, they would have a pep rally in your middle school, whatever. And okay, kids, you know, so we have Mr. Officer, whatever, and he's gonna, oh, this is Spike, my drug dog, whatever. And the dog would do a couple of tricks, and you know, the cop would tell you, and they would show the handcuffs. These are the handcuffs. These are the shackles that we put you in if you were in jail,
Oh my
whatever.
God. And you'll give you stickers and like buttons at the end of the day. And you were like, yay, pencils. I liked the pencils, they were nice.
I was trying to
I
get
really did.
at with that comment, like, so are then like to imply that drugs are good, like everything they told us
I
was a lie.
mean, yeah. I mean, you know, we were told as kids that everyone was gonna offer us drugs. And it's not true. Okay, you know how many times I've been offered drugs, like hard drugs? Once or twice. That's it. And not by strangers. So it's like, where is this man that drives around the house or drives around neighborhoods throwing drugs at people? Because like, hello, can I get some? Like, it's not cool. I was my expectations were very high and I was very disappointed.
So what you're saying is you're complaining about not being able to
I'm
find drugs.
complaining, yeah, because nobody's offering me drugs.
When I was a little kid, I didn't see that stuff until I was maybe in high school. And even then, it wasn't really hard drugs. People were taking like painkillers. I mean, I guess that's kind of hard, but it wasn't like anything.
Those were the dangerous ones. Yeah.
And not only that, but cough syrup too. People would take like
Oh, yeah.
bottles of NyQuil and get drunk off of those.
I would take NyQuil too, but just to sleep, because it would help me. I was not sick, but I would take it for sleep.
And I didn't actually have anybody offer me hard drugs till I was in college, and I was like, nah, I don't find it. I also had some party, and I was just doing my thing. I've always been a drunk, and that's my thing. I mean, that's all.
Your vice.
That's all that I've ever done, probably. I mean, I can think of a couple times that I've smoked out, maybe, in my whole. And that's literally a couple times. Like, I'm not even saying that. It's like once or twice. And but I mean, I didn't really care for it too much. I guess 'cause I'm not used to it. It always kind of made me paranoid because I was already drunk when I did it, and then it's like, dude, like
Oh
this
yeah.
is killing my buzz.
It's never a good idea to drink and smoke at the same time, especially like, you know, the ganja, 'cause like it's very uncomfortable, especially if you're like drunk. Like if you're just like sipping on something, okay. But like if you're like actually drunk and then you smoke, that's like the worst
No,
idea
dude, like
ever.
when I drink, I drink. Like when I know that I'm gonna be able to party, I drink. Like, and I don't get weird, but I mean, that's besides the point. Like here at EMBO, we do not condone the overdosing on substances.
No, todo con medida, nada con exceso, todo con medida.
Yes.
That's the thing in Spanish.
Everything with its in moderation.
In moderation, yes. Which even applies to literally everything because anything can kill you, dude. Too much steak can cause blocked arteries, high blood pressure, blocked arteries, another heart attack. So like, and then certain colors, dyes, or whatever in food can give you cancer. So, you know, really enjoy your life, but do not try to kill yourself with like, you know, too much of anything, because that's not fun.
Oh, that was our PSA for this episode. Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome. That's a help.
So, yeah, I mean, and well, going back to the movie, I guess the visual effects were a little bit iffy. I mean, there were some sequences that looked kind of weird. I mean, mind you, this movie is 23 years old, so the CGI hasn't really aged very well. I mean, there was a couple of scenes that the effects looked okay, but.
Like which ones were bad? Because I mean, I didn't really notice them.
When the girl turned into the huge queen alien parasite.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I just saw a blob, so I was like, okay, whatever.
It's just minimal gripes. I mean, in general, the movie didn't really use too much of it, which is a good thing. If they had actually featured more scenes with it, I think that would have become a problem. But this was like one or two scenes, maybe, so it wasn't that bad. But in general, I think the movie was good. It's enjoyable. I mean, what do you think about the story?
I mean, I wanted more explanation as to where the alien came from, but I mean, it was okay, but it could have been better.
How so?
more depth in like the characters, I think, because like it was all kind of superficial.
So you feel like the movie could have been either longer or maybe give more screen time to the characters themselves, like the main characters, as opposed to the side plots, or?
Yeah, kind of like include more information, I think. I feel like either way, it still worked, but I do wish that there were more information on like where the alien came from.
Yeah, for sure.
That would have been nice.
That I agree with, my friend. And how about, because I was reading some stuff online after I watched the movie, in the process of doing my research, by the way. So people mention all these things about, oh, the movie deals with this and this symbolizes that, and it's always kind of hard to ask anyone what they think the movie stands for or whatever, because everyone's gonna have a different impression for the most part. So one of the things that I read was that this movie deals with the fear of conformity in teenagers. So, thinking back to that time in your life when you were like in high school, was there ever a time in which you were afraid of or wanted to fit in some way, or like that you didn't feel adequate or for some, I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to ask you, but
Well, I mean, I had an identity crisis every other week, basically. I was constantly changing my style because I didn't know what I was supposed to, like, who I was, like, what I wanted to look like. So I literally went from like little wannabe punk to like fresa to prep, which is like the American version of a fresa, but like, to like, I don't know, something ambiguous. I would wear heels to school, to high school. You know, where you're walking all the time, I would wear heels because other girls were wearing heels, and I was like, oh, I'm a girl, I should probably do that too. It's too much effort. By senior year, I wasn't even trying anymore. I wasn't even wearing like makeup anymore. I was just kind of like whatever. And like, you know, we used to walk around with a backpack and a purse. That's ridiculous. And then I never really belonged to any specific group. You know, I had friends in every little clique, but I was also a little outcast, you know, like I never really felt like I belonged to any with any of them. I was kind of like a little wallflower kind of. So yeah, like I struggled trying to fit in. Like, I don't know, it was high school was weird. I don't miss it at all, at all. I would never. That is one phase in my life that I would not want to go back to.
Well, my friend, it is interesting you say that because we actually did a survey on Twitter, by the way,
Oh.
dealing with the question of whether people would prefer. Well, let me read you the question. Let me just try to find it here on our Twitter. But in the meantime, I've talked about my high school years before, but just in general, if you haven't listened to those episodes, it means that, or what I went through in high school. I went to a different school. I went to what's called a magnet school, like magnet, like, you know, North and South Poles, opposites attract, you know, kind of thing. Magnet, but well, basically that school was in a town that's 30 minutes from where I lived at back then. So the bus would pick us up, and they would pick people up from the entire Valley region, so people from different cities, different towns. We would all go to this one place to go to school, to high school. So it was kind of hard to hang out with some friends of yours in the weekend, because one of your friends lived in McAllen, the other one lived in Harlingen, the other one lived in Brownsville. And if you're not aware of the geography of our place, it's like, for example, let's say somebody like you're, we all lived about 30 minutes to an hour away from each other. Which, when you're in high school, I mean, you're 15 years old, you're not driving yet, so it's like, what?
No. How are you going to see your friends?
No, so what I would do is, when I started getting older, people started getting cars, I guess, but I mean, back then, by that point, I was really like, I don't feel like I belong to any of these groups. So then I started partying in Reynosa, which is probably more dangerous than anything. Like, I mean, back then it wasn't as bad as it is now, though. It was a different time with you, a different world. You were able to go out and have time, a good time with your friends, without having to worry about getting shot in the face, you know. Which is the sad reality of my hometown, by the way. Like, you are literally living in fear that any time you go to buy groceries might be the last time you leave your home. Which
Damn.
is just ridiculous, dude. I mean, I hate the fact that I can't visit my family because I'm afraid I'm
Yeah,
gonna
me
get
too.
killed. And that's not a joke, that's really the reality.
No, Yeah, no, it's crazy. I haven't seen my family either for the same reason.
You know, so it's just like, oh my God. But yeah, in general, I mean, I liked my high school experience. It was fun, but there's things that, in retrospect, I mean, I was always kind of like the same that I am now, even. Like the way that I dress now is kind of the way that I dressed back in high school.
Really?
Yeah, except that I was a little bit more proper. I would always wear a belt and tuck my shirt in and like.
Oh, because you had to tuck your shirt. I hated
No,
that.
we didn't have to. Like the school that we went to was one of the like the trailblazers in that whole thing. Or like, nah, it was kind of like going to college, because
What?
we the only dress code that we had is like a, for the for. I mean, the shorts have to be a certain length. You could go in pajamas if you wanted. You could go in flip flops. You could wear caps to school. You could do whatever you wanted, as long as you weren't
What?
wearing shirts that had profanity or drugs in them. Like you couldn't,
Yeah.
you know, do stuff like that, of course. But in general, dude, it was a lot like being in college.
Damn.
So, I mean, but going back to our Twitter survey, I already found the results. So I asked the people on Twitter, my friend, our episode is about the 1998 movie, The Faculty. So, would you rather go back and relive your entire 4 years of high school or be assimilated by an alien queen parasite?
Tough choice. It's a tough choice.
Well, you don't have to answer that, but I mean, like, the people on
I'm still
Twitter.
thinking about it. Yeah, what did they
The people on Twitter have responded, and 55% says take me back to high school, and
say?
45%, 45% are like, dude, just give me the parasite. That's almost, I mean, that's really close. You would figure that.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that say to you about what high school does to the psyche of people?
Exactly. I mean, I'm assuming magnet schools aren't that bad compared to public high schools are another a whole other thing, dude. Like,
I mean, mind you, it's not that many votes, but still, it's enough to, like, you know, get a cross section of
yeah.
like almost half of the people that answered this question feel like high school is not anything they would ever want to go through ever again in their lives.
Well, neither. Same
They would
here.
rather
I would not
prefer to
want
be
to go.
possessed or infected by some alien parasite and like not even care about who they are anymore.
It sounds like a good life to me.
So the final question I gotta ask you for this segment is, what happens after the movie ends? Because apparently people are trying to say that it's a hoax, and some people paint Frodo Baggins as their hero. Frodo Baggins again. Elijah Wood. I know his name. I'm just calling him Frodo to be funny. But so and then of course the jock and the goth girl quit their lifestyles and they become different people when they get together.
Yeah.
And then Jordana Brewster hooks up with Frodo. So the sheepish little reporter gets the pretty cheerleader. That would
Yeah.
never happen in real life, by the way. Be
Nah,
because
probably
of,
not.
there's a scene in the beginning where the guy's like telling her, I'm gonna quit football and I'm gonna do like academics. She's like, oh, that's not the way high school works. Like,
Yeah.
cheerleaders date.
I can't date like someone who's not the quarterback.
Yeah, so, oh my God. Dude. And then Zeke is like in love with the teacher, or no, the teacher's in love with Zeke.
Yeah, which is like, hey, that's not cool. That's statutory rape.
Yeah, so I mean, he might be like over 18 or whatever, but he's still a student, lady.
Still, exactly. He's young. He's in her, what, late 20s, early 30s?
The time
Damn.
of that movie, probably early 30s, mid 30s, maybe even.
Yeah. Dude, too young. Too young. Way too young. We just talked about something similar. No.
So, what happens in your opinion? How do they deal with the aftermath of this thing?
Well, I mean, they defeated a freaking alien, so I feel like their life isn't gonna get any better than that. That they're gonna thought they literally peaked in high school, literally.
What else
I
can
mean,
you do after this? Like, oh, I killed an
right?
alien parasite. Like.
Yeah, exactly. I was possessed by a freaking alien too, because most of them were. It's like.
And then no one's gonna believe you because, I mean, it's only like, what, like a couple of weeks later and they're already calling it a hoax? In the newspapers and everything, so it's like.
Yeah, you gotta live with that for the rest of your life. That's sad, actually. Like, damn, imagine something that crazy happening and you're just there, like, a regular person, just raw dogging life. Like, nah.
We should put that on a shirt.
We should, yeah.
Imagine you're a regular person, raw dogging life, and you're like, nah. Having to get a job in an office somewhere
Exactly, or work as a car
and
salesman.
crunch numbers for the rest of the 40 years you have to
Yeah.
live. And
I would have, like, bring the alien back. Let's go. Come on.
How depressing is that?
That is very depressing. That's insane.
Oh my god, dude. Life is beautiful, but it can also suck.
Yes, it can. It can. Definitely can.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's like, okay, it's something that they're always going to have to contend with. Like, I mean, yeah, remember back in high school when we killed an alien and, like, they're in their 40s and they're all, like, middle-aged.
They're getting together in their garage, like, drinking, kicking back beers, and they're like, oh, remember that one time?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the dynamics of high school stuff in the next segment, the academic segment. It's going to be a little different this time. But before we get to do that, the score, the units for this movie would be how many Southern Queen aliens did this movie get out of 10?
I'm going to go with an 8.
An 8?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 7. So
okay.
We average this movie out at 7.5 Southern Queen aliens.
Sweet.
So any other comments before we move on, my friend?
No. I think we're good.
All right, awesome. So that was our critique segment in which we talked about a lot of things. From drugs to the bleak reality of facing
the mundane.
Yeah, middle age after having to kill an alien in your high school days.
Oh man, that sucks.
Poor people. Yes. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with our academic segment after these messages. Okay, Monica, so now we are at the academic segment in which we talk about making connections to real life stuff when it comes to the subject of whatever film or show or book we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So for this one, it's going to be a little different because it's going to be a little bit of a literary academic segment, not so much a science one. Okay. I've realized that a lot of the academic segments that we've done have to do with science, mm-hmm. which is cool because that's academics. I mean, that's it's got to do with intelligence, with reading and doing research and learning about biology and stuff like that. But this time we're going to talk about a little bit about literary stuff. And I know this is like your cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you enjoy this segment, my friend.
Of course.
But, man, I want to talk about the tropes of teen cinema and just cinema in general. But I'm going to give specific examples. I'm going to give 2 of them, or maybe 3. That I was reminded of when I watched this movie. So, in your words, Monica, just in the Monica Dictionary, what is a trope?
Honestly, I don't remember that in English class. but I know it has something to do with not necessarily a cliche thing, but it's like a a stylized idea type of thing that mm-hmm. is evident in like movies and books and stuff like that, like a trend, if you will, kind mm-hmm. of.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, did you ever hear about a video game called Obscure?
No.
This is back in the early 2000s, so 2004 or 2005. So you're probably like in high school by that point, maybe.
Was it a scary game?
Yeah.
And then maybe I did.
Yeah, so the game Obscure, and I bring that up because the story is really similar to The Faculty, by the way.
Okay.
So it's a survival horror game from the early 2000s, like we said. And mm-hmm. it focuses on 5 students in the high school that find some sort of secret lab under or close to their school. I can't remember. I played this game, but I never finished it.
Okay.
Because you can play this game with a friend or with somebody in the same room. That's an idea that kind of doesn't happen anymore in gaming because now everyone plays online with each other.
Yeah.
But back in the day, kids, you could always invite a friend over or somebody and play a game with them in the same room or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing this with my cousin because I lived with my cousins growing up. And at some point, we got stuck, and he got frustrated, and he just didn't want to play again. So I was like, I'm not gonna start over and that, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I read up on the what happens, but basically, this secret lab has experiments, research being done on a specific plant, a fictional plant, mind you, but a plant that, with its spores, can allow people to live forever.
What?
So the principal of the school, named Herbert, and the nurse, named Elizabeth, have been using the spores of this plant to keep themselves alive for over 100 years old.
Damn.
But they look like they're in their 50s or 60s, so they've been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this game, by the way, also has music from Sum 41 and Span. I never heard of Span, but I remember Sum 41.
Ooh, yeah, I remember Sum 41 too.
Uh-huh. And according to what I found on this page, it says that the story was actually loosely inspired by the faculty.
Oh.
I mean, think about it. It's high school kids that come across some sort of ancient, or not ancient, but like evil scientists and like experiments and like genetic manipulation. So, so it's kind of connected and kind of, mm-hmm. you know, a similar.
Yeah.
So now let me give you the cast of characters in this movie. And this is important for the, and it'll come to light as to why that's important.
Okay.
So we have Josh, who is a shy and reserved reporter for a school newspaper.
Ooh.
Keep that in mind.
Okay.
So his skills include, he can find clues in the room that you're in. He can find items to pick up. So basically, he's kind of like a detective type of character.
Okay.
So then we have Stanley, who is a stoner and a slacker. Mm-hmm. And he was known for being a thief and a hacker. So his special skills include cracking locks and opening doors. Mm-hmm. Then we have Kenny, the athlete, who can run quick and he can hit faster with blunt weapons, apparently. Or even with his hands. And then we have Shannon, who is intelligent, and she can help solve puzzles and riddles, and she can help the other characters heal their wounds faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Ashley, finally, who is a cheerleader, and she has the ability to... It's kind of weird for a cheerleader, but she can rapid fire a pistol and she deals more damage with most shooting weapons, so I guess she's a marksman.
Sweet.
So a badass cheerleader.
Literally the cast of the faculty.
Right?
Same thing.
So we have the reporter, which is Frodo Baggins. We have the athlete, which is the football player.
Mm-hmm.
We have the stoner slacker guy, which is Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
We have the intelligent person, which is, I guess, the goth girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the cheerleader, which is Jordana Brewster.
Yes.
So, now, let me give you another example.
Okay.
Did you ever watch a movie called The Breakfast Club?
Yes, the same thing. You're right, yep.
From the 80s?
Yeah.
Alright, so you already caught the connections I'm trying to make here, but for the audience, if they haven't seen The Breakfast Club, this movie takes place in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
This movie came out around the time that I was born. So this movie's about 38, 40 years old, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out in 1984, I think. So if you're not familiar with the movie deals with a whole bunch of high school students that get in trouble with the principal, whatever, and they get sent to Saturday morning detention.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's not just Saturday morning, it's the entire day.
Yeah.
So who do we have as characters in this movie? Okay, so we have Molly Ringwald, the actress, playing Claire, who plays the popular girl character, which would be the cheerleader, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Except in this movie, they call her the princess.
Yes.
We have the actor Anthony Michael Hall playing Brian, which is the nerdy, dorky character, which is they call the brain, which is Frodo Baggins,
mm-hmm.
and the faculty. And then we have the actor Emilio Estevez playing Andrew.
Emilio!
Who would eventually become a hockey coach in the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even the same character, but I mean, in this continuity in my head, he is the same character. After graduating high school, he became a hockey player and changed his name to Gordon Bombay.
Nice.
Became the coach for the Mighty Ducks. So so he plays the jock character by the name of Andrew, by the way. The athlete. Mm-hmm. We have the actor Judd Nelson playing Bender, which is the rebel character, which they call the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Zeke, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the actress Ally Sheedy playing Allison, which is the goth character, which in this movie, yes. in the Breakfast Club, they call her the basket case. So, before I move on, because I think I have another example that I just thought of right now. What are you noticing about all these, the movies and the game that I just talked about?
They all have the same characters.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, man. They're just trying to... It's very cliche. Like, I don't know. Because they're the group of people that would least likely be grouped together.
Uh-huh.
So it makes things interesting.
That's one thing, I guess. Maybe trying to mix oil and water, if you will.
Yeah.
And make it work somewhere. You know, get them through a trial or difficult time and have them figure out a way to work together and get themselves...
Yeah.
All of them as an ensemble out of that situation, right?
Yes.
Do you think that we see this because I'm getting all like English professor here, but is this something that is done because there's not a lot of creativity anymore, or is this something that is done because it actually represents people?
I mean, in a sense it does, because you do have your little groups in high school, you know, of like each one representing basically every clique. Like, and it's always like that. I guess now, I mean, I haven't been to a high school recently, right? So I don't know what kind of groups they have now, but there's always been the jocks. There's always been the emo kids, the goth kids, the popular kids, you know, and the smart kids. Like, there's always been... It's weird. Like, how has that, you know... How have those categories survived throughout time? It allowed us to like freaking relate to all these movies. Like, that's crazy.
I feel like anybody that watches The Breakfast Club right now can actually relate to at least one of the characters.
Yes.
Even if they don't like the movie, I mean, that's valid, but yeah, they can probably see something of themselves in at least one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And yep, that's what makes the movie like that timeless, because I mean, like, this movie, you can watch it 100 years from now and it'll be the same probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been 40 years, and it's still the same little cliques, like you said. So the athletes, the goths, the emo kids, you know, the smart ones. Do you feel like we look for that in movies or books to see ourselves represented or, like, make a connection to the characters? Or is that something that we just happen to, like, oh, you know, that reminds me of myself?
I don't know. And, like, I'm thinking about it now. It's like, did we create that, or did somebody else create that and we just like became that? Like,
are you asking us if we're living in the Sims and we have like you know, when you play a game and you create a character, and like, this, you can be a thief, you can be a knight, you can be a wizard, like, you uh-huh. think it's kind of like that, where like,
I don't know,
whoever is controlling our lives through a controller and their computer or whatever, is like, okay, Chewie's gonna be a nerd.
Yeah.
And Monica is going to be a cheerleader. And just, you know, for the sake of...
I think so. I mean, it's weird, but it wouldn't be too bizarre, actually.
How easily do we... I don't want to say fall into these categories, but do we find ourselves gravitating to at least one of them, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so trippy. I did not expect a trip today.
Well, I am here to surprise you, my friend, as always. Now, let me think of another example that I thought of it right now as soon as we started recording. I don't have it in my notes, but just from memory. You ever see The Cabin in the Woods?
I know we watched it, but I haven't, I don't remember it.
So The Cabin in the Woods is basically a meta type of movie in the sense that it makes fun of horror movies.
Uh-huh.
The entire premise of the movie is to make fun of horror movies. While it being a horror movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's done really well, dude. I mean, it's a horror comedy, but it's not like a flat out comedy. But it's got comedic elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's a character that played by Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Which is the jock. There's a stoner character. I forget the name of the actor. There's like a popular girl character, there's a nerdy girl character, and there's like a nerdy guy character. So I guess it's kind of like a little offshoot of this.
Mm-hmm.
But and then at the very end, it's revealed that these people are put through trials on a yearly basis or every so often because they're trying to please, sorry, what they call the, I don't know, the other gods or something like that. And it's got to be done in a very specific way because if it's not, and if people aren't killed in a specific order, then everything goes to chaos, you know, the world ends, the gods come and kill all humans, you know, stuff like that. So and they give archetypes. They give the athlete, the fool, which is the stoner character, and the virgin, which is like the virtuous girl, you know. So again, archetypes. So if you see that movie, it's kind of the same thing as this. But in that movie, they're actually aware of it and they're making fun of it, or trying to bring awareness. So can you think of any examples of your own right now, or like any other movies or books you might have read for or anything like that?
I mean, not the, off the top of my head right now. My brain isn't really working properly.
I mean, I would say that for the most part, most horror movies have some sort of connection to this.
Well, yeah, because you have like the little outcast guys kind of always being the underdogs, and the jocks always die, but one survives sometimes. You know, like it's weird. I can't think of anything.
What about Scream? Do you think it fits this type of thing?
Oh, well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, because you do have like the popular kids on there, but like they're part of that group. You know, there's always that one popular kid that hangs out with like the stoners or like the outcasts or whatever.
Does that actually happen in real life, though?
Yes. It does. I did know. I did know. I did have friends that were jocks that hung out with stoners, and then I mean they were stoners themselves too, but yeah.
So some sort of like a little Venn diagram of personalities. Well, I guess maybe I already asked you this, but I mean, why do you think we keep having these things in our media?
I don't know. I mean,
Let me put it to you this way: do you think it should be done still, or should people try to find something new to work with?
it's still relatable. I think that's why it hasn't died out. It still applies, kind of. But I mean, now like we got these Gen Zers, like different generations, like kind of taking over. So it does need to be changed to adapt to how things are now, because the world is not the same. It has definitely changed.
Last time that I was working with students was about 5 or 6 years ago. So I'm a little bit out of touch myself, actually, with the way things work. But even as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, I could still see this happening. Like kids, like kind of trying to fit into one of these. I mean, there's more groups, but this is like the, I guess, the more
The
common
basics.
ones. So I wonder how, like, you brought up a good point. Like, if this generation's gonna either want to keep doing that, or if they're gonna maybe try to not allow themselves to fit in that box. But I mean, me being a psychology major, one of the things that I learned from my professors was that, you know, psychologists study the mind, this and that. And actually, just real quick, there's actually a branch of psychology that doesn't believe in the mind, or didn't for a long time, which is kind of mind-boggling because no pun intended. Because you would figure like, well, psychologists always talk about feelings, and yeah, but this specific group of psychologists didn't want to study that at all. They didn't think it was worthy of studying.
What?
Just crazy, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
The behaviorists. But my professors, for the most part, would say like, psychologists is a study of the individual mind, but we all like to think that we're unique and that nobody can be like us, but we're not really that unique, dude. You think about it. I mean, of course, we all have our little quirks and personalities and habits and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask you, do you agree with that? What these people told me when I was in college, that people are always looking for a way to be individual, but subconsciously you always kind of always put yourself in a box.
Yes, I can agree with that.
Because I don't think, I mean, of course, I mean, if you're introverted, you're gonna try to avoid people. in general, but for the but even that by itself is you're already putting yourself in a group. So, I mean, you're not the only intro, like, you see what I'm trying to say? Like, you're not the only introverted person in the world. You're not the only person that's dealing with whatever you think you're dealing with. And that's not to say that whatever you're dealing with is not valid, or that you shouldn't be concerned about it, or feel troubled about it. But what I'm trying to say is that there are people out there that are similar to you. Whether you feel like your life is going well or not, whether you feel you belong to a specific group or not, I mean, you're not the only person that has these ideas and these thoughts and these feelings. Right? Does that make sense?
And I think we subconsciously also we just try to categorize ourselves because we want to fit in regardless, like into something so we can relate to things.
Because for the most part, humans are social creatures. Like, we like to be around other people that share our interests and that we can get along with and have, talk to and stuff like that. And of course, that's just in general, because always there's people like, I don't like talking to anybody. Like, yes, you, but in general. So, but again, even then, the people that say that they don't like talking to anybody, like, they're not the only ones. So they're already kind of part of a group, even if they don't want to. So it's kind of inescapable, is it? Inescapable, rather.
In the skin, yeah.
So, you got any comments on this or any thoughts to
No. No, I mean, it's just cr crazy, like how we just fit in a little box. We can be categorized like that. Like, we do it to ourselves, but it's still trippy.
Do you think that's scary?
A little bit, yeah. It's like, are we really individualistic? Like, does that even exist?
Remember how we talked about the collective unconscious in other episodes? And if you haven't heard those, by the way, you should. But if you're not familiar with that concept, it is a concept of a branch of psychology created by Carl Jung, who was BFFs slash student slash co-worker of Sigmund Freud for a while, until they had a falling out and they stopped talking to each other. So basically, the idea is that we, I mean, just in general terms, the idea is that we all share this thing called the collective unconscious. It's kind of like a pool of ideas and concepts that we can tap into with our minds at times and kind of draw inspiration from there, or kind of like try to find a way to work through a problem. And that is why. Or that's the, one of the possible explanations for stuff like recurring dreams, or people that tell you they dream the same thing as you did, and dreams of that happen to everybody. Dreams of falling down, dreams of losing your teeth, dreams of weddings. I mean, these are things that for the most part we all see through our lives. But why is it that so many people have the same or similar dreams, right? So that was kind of an attempt to try to explain that, and I'm just speaking in general terms, by the way, and from memory. But that's the general idea. So if you want to do more reading on that, by all means, knock yourself out. The Collective Unconscious by Carl Jung. That's a scary idea, though. Imagine, like, your mind isn't really your own. Like, you're connected to this, like, mastermind
Yeah,
or
that's crazy.
this hive mind in a way, like, but unconsciously, because you're not really aware of it, but you're still connected to that. Kind of like the Matrix, right? Where they connected all those people to the same machines, whatever, and they fed them images of the same world. We're getting a little bit too deep here,
We are.
aren't we? Yeah, so, well, that was kind of everything that I had to say. I don't know if you have any more comments.
No, I think we're good.
So, I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is that it's okay to feel like you want to belong to some group, it's okay to feel like you don't want to belong. I mean, it's you do you. Whatever floats your boat, but keep in mind that your mind is not your own.
Oh, shoot.
That sounds kind of ominous.
It does. It sounds like something from The Outer Limits or
the
something.
outer
Remember
limits, yeah.
that?
Yeah, just keep on living your lives, guys. Like we talked in the last episode about how you shouldn't concern yourself about how green is not really green, and blue is not really blue. I mean, just deal with it. Just accept it. You know, it's.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So, yeah, that was our academic segment. And we will be right back with the Know Thine Enemy segment after these messages. Alright, so after that much needed break, we are now at the Know Thine Enemy segment. I was parched, so I got myself a beer, my friend.
Yep, I have a margarita here, but it's too sweet, so I'm just gonna drink my water instead.
Oh, why not pour your water into your margarita? It balances out.
You're right.
I am here for you, my friend, to always give you advice about life. Nice. So I am drinking what is an obsidian stout. Ooh. By something called, I hope I'm saying this right, Deschutes Brewery. It's a really heavy dark stout, dude. It's like dark, like heavy. So I feel like if I drink 3 or 4 of these, I'll probably be in my way to Happy Town.
Nice. That's good.
So talking about the Know Thine Enemy segment, we are gonna talk about chan chan chan. What else but the Queen Alien, my friend, right?
Yes.
So, what is she?
I don't know.
She's a sort of alien, right? But, like, if you had to compare to some organism from Earth, what would you compare her to? Like, an octopus, or...?
Well, yeah, she has, like, tentacles and stuff, right?
Kinda, uh-huh. So, she's a parasite from another planet, and basically, she says in, like, one brief scene that lasts, like, a minute, that her planet was dying, that it was a water world type of thing, and her and her kind lived there happily ever after. But then the water started drying out for some reason that she doesn't really explain why.
Yeah.
But so she decides, I'm gonna pack my bags and move to Earth.
Go conquer that planet.
But again, how did she get here? Like, that's a question that I still don't have an answer for.
Because there was no remains of a spaceship. No underground lair. It really is not explained, and I have questions.
Me too. And that is one of the negative points about this movie, that the exposition is brief and not explored very well.
Yes.
What is her motivation? What does she want?
To turn everyone. Mm-hmm. So that they feel no pain.
Is that really what she wants, though? Like,
no, I mean, I'm sure she wants something else. I just don't know.
No, I mean, like, I mean, that's what she says she wants. In the movie, she says, she's like, yeah, I want to make everyone, like, the same and not feel any pain and make everyone equal or whatever. Because as you mentioned earlier, I haven't forgotten what you said, by the way, but I was waiting for this segment to say it.
Okay.
That when they get possessed, they become kind of, like, cheery, like, cheerful, like, really peppy and...
Mm-hmm.
But one of the lines that caught my attention was the coach. When the guy quits the team, and the coach is kind of like in, I think they're swimming practice. And so the guy said, yeah, coach, you know what? I'm going to quit football and just focus on my studies because I want to go to college, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach is like, okay. And the guy's like, what? That's it? Like, no outburst? Because earlier in the movie, he blew up at him for like a little mistake he made in a play or whatever.
Uh-huh. That's
like the opening scene of the movie. And he's like, that's it? And the coach is like, well, I'm not going to stand in the way of you describing your future or whatever. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of that, he's like, what sort of human being would I be if I got after you?
Damn.
So this thing is, I guess, pretending to act like it thinks humans act naturally. Uh-huh. But that's not really the way humans act, is it?
No. Maybe they would have been happier as, like, you know, with that parasite in them. Because they're just chilling, you know? They're having fun. I mean, what's the catch, right? But, like, still, It seems like life was better with the parasite in there.
Very interesting conclusion, indeed. So, do you think it would have been worth it to give up your humanity? I mean, not to you specifically, but as a character in this movie.
Is it really that bad? No. I mean, they're not like eating each other. They're not destroying the school. They're literally just nicer versions of themselves with a better outlook on life.
They still kind of keep their own personalities intact in a way, right?
Yeah. They're still them
Yeah.
to a level. Yeah. So is it really that bad? No.
I see your point, and yeah, I mean, I guess that's one of the interesting parts about this movie is that if you really think about it, it's like, was it really that bad?
No.
I mean, and just that line alone is like where he said, like, what kind of human being would I be if I got mad at you?
It's true. There's no point in getting mad. The kid doesn't want to play ball. He doesn't want to play ball. Let him live his life.
And in a way, that kind of connects, I mean, just giving up your individuality with some of the stuff that we're talking about a little bit earlier, about how our minds are on some subconscious level connected to each other. This thing kind of makes everybody forget about being angry about stuff and kind of just have a blast with what they're doing. And how does this parasite spread to everybody?
Through what looks like a little bug or whatever. It goes in through the ear and just crawls around the face. I'm guessing connects to the brain and then bam, infected.
I mean, it is kind of freaky how they stand in the rain, though.
Oh yeah, it's because I mean they're deprived of water. They're perpetually thirsty. So the water's like, "Yas, give it to me, hydrate me." So their body goes crazy.
Kind of how I feel after a night of drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The nectar of the gods.
Just want all the water in
Yep, cold
the
water too, 'cause like the cold water just hits different.
Dude, yeah. That and the cucumber lime Gatorade, by the way.
Oh, I've never had cucumber lime Gatorade.
That
That sounds
is
good.
my 100% chewy recommended remedy for hangovers. For me.
Over cure.
It works for me, so.
Nice.
So yeah, like, you're right. It kind of spreads to this little bug, and at some point you see them in the school infecting all the students with like an ear exam or something.
Oh, yeah.
They start calling random students in little groups, and then they all form a line, and they have them go into the nurse's office, and she's injecting this parasite through their ear, through this, ear device, whatever.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the other things this thing can do? It can like morph from a regular human to like this huge thing, right?
Yeah, and it can multiply, it can duplicate
How is that even
itself.
possible?
I don't know.
That kind of violates laws of physics.
Yeah, it does. Like, what?
So, I mean, it can grow inside, I don't know how many times over in size. I mean, this is like a tiny little girl. And then when she turns into this alien thing, she's like a hulking beast, kind of like an elephant, or even bigger,
Oh, yeah.
probably.
She's like a giant Jabba
Yeah, basically.
the Hutt.
So, its weakness, we said, is what?
Well, it was caffeine, but it was like at whatever pills that guy used or powder. That was mixed with like I don't know, what did he call it? Scat or
He called it Sky, which is
yeah.
it's a slang word for poop.
Poop?
Yeah.
Why would they name their drug poop? That doesn't make any sense.
Never heard of that word scat before?
No, never.
It's like a slang term for, or it used to be, I don't know if it still is or not, but back in the 90s.
For poop?
Yep.
Why the f would they call that their drug? Like, well, that fairy dust, that's what apparently is poison to these things because I'm assuming because of the caffeine, because it dehydrates them and they're already kind of dehydrated, which is why they like thirst for water. So I'm assuming that's why that affects them.
another thing that might actually make them weaker, or that they might be weak against alcohol. They would never be able to drink a beer or a drink because
Oh, yeah, that's true.
alcohol, the way that it works in your system, it dehydrates your
Dehydrates.
cells.
That's true. That's true.
So I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't want to be converted to this.
Well, you wouldn't know. You're just, you're never gonna crave the beer.
No, but I mean, as long as I'm human, I'm gonna want to have a drink, or so I'm gonna try to put that off as long as possible
Yeah.
by being drunk all the time and have this thing like as soon as it enters my system, just die by the alcohol content in my blood. So, what is your opinion, my friend, of the Parasite Queen Alien as a villain? How effective is she?
Not that effective. I mean, she's powerful because she's big, like she's massive. So if you're not quick like Frodo Baggins, you'll probably die. Well, not die, but you'll for sure be converted. But other than that, I mean, caffeine kills her, so she's not that strong. I'm stronger than her in that case.
I mean, if something as mundane as caffeine kills you, I mean, it's like.
Yeah.
But think about how easy it was for her to infect the entire school in like a day.
People are stupid, and they don't realize that people are acting different. They're like, "Oh, you're a little weird," but they're not like, "Oh my gosh." And then those things like multiply. So I mean, she's effective for sure as a villain. She's got her little minion parasites that just are easy to transmit.
Let me ask you this: if this actually happened here in our dimension, how likely are we to succeed against this?
No, it'd be f***ed. You'll have to write it. Everything would be converted within like freaking hours.
I like your optimism, Monica.
I mean, why lie? We're not that smart as a society, so.
I'm pretty sure you have people calling this a hoax on the internet like within minutes.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and the politicians would be like all parasites, like for sure. Well, I mean, if it makes you a happy person, maybe things would be better, so.
Goes
Who
back to
knows?
that question again, right?
Yep.
So how many skulls do you give her on the scare meter?
I'll go with three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of low.
Yeah, I'm not that scared of her.
I'm gonna give her a 7.
Okay.
Because I thought, I mean, of course, I mean, her weakness to caffeine and alcohol make her just a ridiculous opponent. But that's if you know the weakness, because if you don't know the weakness, and
True. Yeah, you're right.
then just because of how easy every student got infected, and then they also infected the other ones in the football game, so. Yeah, so I guess your 3 and my 7 average out to a 5 out of 10 skulls. I mean, it's not that bad.
It's not
I
bad,
think it's fair.
halfway.
So, any other final comments on the Queen Alien Parasite?
No, but if a parasite jumped into me, I would not complain.
So, you are part of that 45% that voted for not going back to high school.
I would never, I would not want to go back to high school.
So that was our Know Thine Enemy segment, in which we talked about the Queen Alien Parasite. So we're right back with the closing remarks.
Aww, less sad.
Alright, Monica, the audience, and myself, le sad face once again because we are at the end of our episode, Monica.
Aww.
Indeed, my friend. So we want to thank everyone that took time to listen to our episode today. If you are a first-time listener, we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you also come back for more in the next week. In the meantime, as you wait impatiently for the next episode, you can always go back and explore our library of over 50 episodes by now. And I would say stick around or start with the newer ones and then kind of work your way down, because the first ones are not. Especially episode one. Please do not ever listen to that one until we remake it. For now, avoid it like the plague. But yeah, if you are a repeat listener, thank you very much for being part of the loyal EMBL squad. And yeah, keep coming back for more, guys. Do your thing. If you feel like you like this one a lot, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, on Podchaser. I mean, we're on there. Take a couple of minutes and give us a couple of words of encouragement and praise. So, shout-outs, Monica. You got any shout-outs for this week?
Only to my mama, because tomorrow is her birthday. So, happy birthday to my mama.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, happy birthday, Miss Casanova. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being awesome, Monica's mom. or for creating such an awesome individual.
Thank you.
That I have the privilege of calling my friend.
Aww. Voy a llorar.
And actually, in a dramatic turn of events, I have no shoutouts this week, my friend.
What?
Yeah. I mean, other than the people that took time to vote in our Twitter poll. It was kind of a slow week, actually. I mean, I was working on other stuff, and yeah.
It's so okay.
I didn't have time to interact with many people on social media this week, so. But how about our social media links, by the way?
Okay.
Let's go ahead and remind our listeners of that. We have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
All right, and we have our Letterboxd under MythsBehindLGDS, and we have our TikTok under MythsBehindLegends. And by the way, Monica, I recently posted a video about cooking on there.
Ooh.
So, since you're not following us yet.
I'm going to do it today, I promise.
Don't think I'm not keeping tabs on you, my friend, because I am. And I hadn't said anything because I was hoping that you would do it by yourself on your own, but I mean,
Man, I get lost in the freaking web of TikTok.
Dude, I don't even want to start looking at anything because then I'll probably be the same. Dude, I know myself. If I start looking at something and I find something interesting, I'll be there for hours.
Dude, I literally spent like almost 3 hours in bed watching TikToks today. I'm not even joking.
Wow, dude.
It's bad. It's bad.
So, I mean, spoilers alert, that cooking video has a special appearance by a friend of mine. Ah.
Ooh, nice.
Not really, just like my alter ego.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, go ahead and follow us on TikTok, guys. Myths Behind Legends. And we have our infamous website, which is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
Nice. So, Monica, what is the hint for our following episode? What are we doing next week?
Next week, we're doing more alien invasion!
Yay!
Yay!
We can leave it at that for now.
Okay.
I guess, because, I mean, this could be any kind of movie. But if you want to go a step further, you can say that it's kind of similar to this one, in a way.
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm. In a way, but yeah. So, yeah, once again, thank you guys very much for listening to our episode. You got any final comments, Monica?
Nope.
All right, so I want to wish everyone a great morning, evening, night, madrugada. If you notice people forming strange lines in your high school, avoid those.
Yeah.
Especially if they start acting different.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid the new students at all costs.
Yeah.
And until then, be good to everybody, to yourselves, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.